On this week's episode, Amos had some soju BS.
Yeah, and I also christened the bowl. Take both of those for what you will.
I had three things on repeat.
Yeah, was one of them Starfighter?
Yeah, but wasn't in my living room.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Hello and welcome to the Rich and Misery Podcast, episode 247 for Thursday, the 23rd of April, 2020. I'm Amos, that's Kent. This is the show where two lifelong friends celebrate all things geek, and the audience did not hear the intro audio. Haha, because I suck.
What's going on? Hey, we had such a smooth pre-show that, you know, we had to screw something up because we're armed.
Right, yeah, no, everything was like, we didn't have to like second check anything or whatever, like it was just... Yeah, everything was going smooth until...
Until it wasn't.
Until the actual show started.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. Hey, man, how you been, dude? It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think we've only had one actual episode of RMP between the last Amos appearance and this one.
Yeah.
But I've been doing a lot of RMP extra in the meantime. I haven't missed a week in between. So I've actually, so in the show notes, I wrote three things on repeat about what my week has been like. And it kind of feels like Groundhog's Day because I've done three things over and over and over and over again. Those three things are I get up and I telework, which basically consists of answering phone calls and checking my email throughout the like mid-morning to like late afternoon.
Right.
And then I'm either, depending on well, it varies based on the day, I guess, but I either go directly into RMP prep because I'm either developing a concept or setting up some kind of a set or putting together notes or something like that. And then in the evening, I'll go into playing with my At Games Legends Ultimate arcade machine. Mm. Or if it's not on one of those days, I will get off of work and I'll play my arcade machine and then I'll do RMP prep after that. And that's pretty much been my last, like, I don't know, 3 weeks. What about you, man? It's been a minute since we've heard from you. What's going on?
I am spending a lot of time with the family, doing a lot of research for a lot of big projects. I just talked to a very special idol of mine today about starting a new project, working directly with that person. So, really excited about that stuff. Just minor stuff, like nothing really big. I had this big thing planned for this whole summer that was going to take up so much of my time. And what's happening instead is I've got tons of little stuff that's just getting knocked out and taken care of. And it's been fantabulous. I did make two batches of soju, you know, Kool-Aid, some fruity flavors and soju.
So you didn't actually distill the soju yourself.
No.
You had soju and you created a concoction with it.
Right. And I'm not talking about soju like, you know, whatever company makes soju in Colorado or some shit. I'm talking about soju I brought back from Korea. Combat bottles of soju. Mixed that in. And the kids and I last night, and my sister-in-law, we played bullshit. They'd never played bullshit before.
Oh, so bullshit. Yes.
We played bullshit with soju. And none of us got too hammered up because we only had two batches and it was five people, but they got to feel the love of the soju, how it's nice and comfortable as it's going in and then makes you rethink life decisions as you're standing up to go to the bathroom. So that was awesome. The kids had never played they'd never played any drinking games at all ever. And that was eye opening to them. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. They're brand new to this idea of consuming alcohol. So,
yeah. My son, David, he didn't take part. He was too busy playing Minecraft. He told us he'd get with us later. And I was like, that's not how this works. So my three daughters, three older daughters, the twins and Amber, we sat around and had some soju and played cards.
That sounds like a great evening, actually.
It really was. And that was last night. So, yeah. I think I told you I got the not Grim Valor, what's the other game, the big box game,
oh um I do not remember the name of it, but you told me that you've got a like a box, like a organization box.
Yes, I got that, and that has turned out splendidly. It's amazing. I love it. Still haven't played the game because now all the kids are back doing school stuff all day long, and then at night everybody's doing their own thing. But probably try to tackle that this weekend and see how that goes. But yeah, that thing was a lot of fun to put together. It took me about 8 hours to put it together, all told. Gluing all the pieces together and stuff like that. It was like a huge puzzle. It was amazing. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, just tackling little projects like that. That's been most of it. Well, we'll get into a little bit more specifics on what Quarren life has been for us a little later. But that's the gist of it.
Yeah. So I did something like super, super freaking geeky the other day. So I've mentioned several times on this show already that I've got an arcade machine, and I actually did an RMP Extra stream from the machine a couple weeks ago. So do you remember the movie The Last Starfighter?
Yes.
So the premise of the movie, for those that don't know, it's a teenage boy growing up in a trailer park, kind of dead end life, doesn't have a lot going on for him. But there's an arcade machine in the trailer park that he plays and he gets really, really, really good at.
And he has a pretty good looking girlfriend.
That is true. That is
at least according to my 8-year-old standards in the 80s.
That's right. This movie, I think, was like 1984 or something like that.
Yep.
So he's playing this arcade game, Starfighter. And he beats the high score on the machine. So like shatters the record. Right. And, he thought, oh, you know, this is the most exciting thing that's happened in the trailer park. I beat this high score. Like he had like all the residents watching him beat this score and whatnot, which was a big deal to him. But it turns out that the video game was not just a video game. It was a test to become a real life starfighter and fight some intergalactic war, like light years away. And anyway, so it's basically like a dream of mine when I was a kid to be Alex Rogan, the character in the movie, to get good at a video game and then like be recruited to be like to do it in real life.
Greetings, Starfighter.
Yes, yes. So anyway, so the arcade game in the movie was never actually produced. The main reason is that the technology in the early 80s didn't exist to have a game that was as complex, especially the graphics of the game at the time. So in the meantime, an independent developer, this is 5-ish years ago probably, made the actual game based on the movie. There is a free download, and I'll be sure to get this in the show notes. But it is a Windows-based game that's the game from the movie. And I have yet to get a ROM for the machine.
Yeah.
To play it as an arcade game. But I found footage of it, and I put it on my arcade machine as a, you know, like an attract video. Mm-hmm. So I can... You walk into an arcade and you've got all, you know, all the machines are like showing you stuff. Anyway, so I took video from my iPhone of my machine in attract mode with a Starfighter on it. And, I thought it was like the geekiest, like I had like the biggest nerd boner, putting this thing together and then like watching my machine, play all of this from
the last time. And so now we are going to prepare yourselves. We're about to watch Kent's video game boner. Is there sound?
You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zillar and the Kobang Armada.
Well, apparently yes. They didn't hear the audio on that either, so I just suck at life, but that was pretty cool.
yeah. So, and it goes on and on, and you get to see actual gameplay, and it goes through the whole thing of, you know, when the alien shows up and the machine starts like getting jacked up and it like transforms the alien into like his true form and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Well, all of that's on this like the full form video as well.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so much fun to put that together, and man, I can't wait to have an actual ROM of that game to play.
Well, I mean, that's going to be that's going to be one of those RMP specials, right?
Yeah, for sure. So I've been doing RMP extras. There's a lot of like game footage and a bunch of like extra behind the scenes footage for RMP that patrons can get their hands on.
Yep.
If they, all they got to do is all that anyone's got to do is go over to patreon.com/ritual misery, sign up. You can do it completely free. Right now we're not charging anybody.
Right.
So you could pledge $1,000 if you wanted to, and you get all of the benefits, and you don't get charged anything. You pay $0. So what I would suggest is that everybody, if you're not already, go sign up patreon.com/ritual misery for $1 an episode, or $1 a month rather. Mm-hmm. You could even like, you can cap it wherever you want to cap it, and get access to all of the patron goodies. And we're still not going to charge you. Why the heck would we have a Patreon campaign and not charge people, Amos?
Two things real quick. One, I want to thank you for the raid for Tucson Sam. I know that's Tuscan Sam. I give up. That's what I'm going with. And the second point would be that we don't do this for a living. There are creators out there that do it for a living. We do it for a little extra cash to spend on new gear or, you know, things like this, travel to events, stuff like that, t-shirts, whatever. And we don't need that money right now. So we paused our account or paused our patrons in April. We're going to pause them again in May because, well, that's just how it has to go. B. Coford says, wait, what travel?
Yeah. I remember once upon a time that travel was a thing.
Yeah. We were supposed to be at South by, of course, can't end up going, but then there's a limited turnout because of all the travel stuff. So, now we just got that money banked. It's just sitting in a pocket, and the next trip would be in September going out to Cincinnati, but we're currently waiting for that to be canceled as well. So, we'll figure something out. One of these bigger groups have meetups all the time, and we'll jump on one of those and make sure that happens. But yeah, that's what our patrons go to, and we don't need that right now. Like, we're not, it's not causing us to starve. So, yeah, that's why we don't need it right now. Other people do. So take that money that you would be giving us and give it to somebody else, but go ahead and sign up for ours, because when we do kick back in, we are going to be using that money for travel.
Yeah, and we'll be sure to warn all the patrons before we charge again. But again, that's patreon.com/ritual misery.
Yep. Hey, man, I did a couple things this week that I thought were pretty fucking exciting. I've been talking a long time. I've been trying to convince you for a long time to jump on the Hue train so you can get some different lights and shit in your office there. And I took the big plunge. I got the spotlight, so now you can see the purple and the greens a little bit better on my video. And I transferred those lights out to the living room. I got a Hue Play, which is a HDMI device that hooks up, you know, it's basically an HDMI inline device. You can put up to 4 HDMI devices in there, and then that device hooks up to your TV. And it takes whatever input you're giving it and makes the Hue lights in that room fluctuate and change colors according to whatever's on the TV. I got that all hooked up, so now all the lights in the living room are Hue lights, and you play a movie, and a big explosion happens, the whole room glows orange.
Wow, that's
There's a laser duel, you know, like a lightsaber duel, and you can see the reds and the blues flashing around the room in sync with the lightsabers. It's not for everybody. My sister-in-law finds it very distracting, but she's got, like, whatever the next level is beyond ADHD, she's got that. To me, I when it's set in middle brightness and the middle mode, because you can set the extremity, like how much it's going to fluctuate and change and how fast and all that. It's pretty awesome, and I really enjoyed it, especially on animated movies, because there's lots of color. Like every, like we played the Lego movie and it was just like, there's so many colors and all the lights are taking, it's really cool. I got a couple light bars on the way that are going to go behind the TV to shine on the wall behind it to give it a little bit more ambiance to it. And yeah, it's really, really freaking sweet. And I will be posting, once I get everything set up, once I get those other light bars, I will be posting a video to the patrons, probably a free video to the patrons, to show my setup with the TV show and everything else. It's really cool. And I'll try to do a better job than the schmucks on YouTube that have shown demonstrations of it so far. So, great. Yeah. And you can sync it to music too. So like you get a slow song, it's like a piano song. It's just got little twinkles here and there. Then you play something like with a big driving bass and it's just like boom, 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 boom. It's oh pretty fucking God. Awesome.
It's like being in a club.
It kind of is. Yeah. Now I just need a nice stereo to put in there, some surround sound, and be all about it.
Yeah. No, that sounds freaking awesome, dude.
Yeah. So that I did that. And then I have, also in that shipment, whenever it arrives, I got some light panels for my room in here for my office to liven that up a little bit too. So we'll see what I can do with that. They have not arrived yet. And actually this should be pointed up a little bit more so you can see that ledge, cause that's where I plan on putting them. So,
okay.
Yeah. Right about there or so. Also rearranged my office and now my bookshelf is behind me as per Tom Merritt's recommendation, not just copying him, but he actually told me, put your bookshelf behind you. It'll give you more to talk about. And, I put my pops up there, my Funkos all in their boxes. They're still in the boxes because I don't have a permanent place to put them yet. So they just stack up nicer when they're in their boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
But yeah, not a collector. Well, I'm a collector. I'm not a, what do we call it, Kent? We're not collectors. We're,
I don't know. I don't know what we call it. But yeah, like I've got a small pop collection as well.
Yeah.
Video viewers, I don't know if you can see some of them on my shelf. But yeah, I don't keep them in boxes. I take them out. I will pose them sometimes.
Play with them.
Play with it. Yeah. I play with my toys. So, I mean, they're definitely not, you know, I'm not going to keep them in the boxes like for music, you know, keep them museum level pristine and all of that.
Right. No, that's most of my boxes are trashed anyway, because I get them when they're like half off.
Yeah. Well, so. And the thing about Funko Pops, like the boxes themselves are decorative and they actually look pretty nice in the box as well. Yeah. So, I mean, it's either or, it's personal preference to me. But like if I had like, for example, when I was a much younger person, a child/teenager, and I had like Star Wars toys and whatnot, like I would open them up and play with them. Like, right. I wasn't about to keep them in the package and display them. Like, that to me is just ridiculous.
There's a certain mark of privilege that I'm not comfortable with, but taking things and buying them just to keep them in pristine, unplayed condition and not using them for the purpose of which they were used or
right.
in which they were built.
Right.
And finally, my last bit of news is the other night, as Kent knows, because he called me, or I called him, one or the other, it was Monday night. I went out to the backyard and christened my bong. Went in, put a little pinch of the old cannabis in there, and finally, you know, I actually enjoyed my bong for the first time. And I got to tell you, man, back in the day, you'd have to smoke an entire joint to be able to like really feel like, you know, you and I could split a joint and we'd be good. But just for
hypothetically,
yeah, for general purposes though, like you smoke a joint, you're good, but you know, if you get too many people sharing it, you're not. I put just a pinch of shit in the bowl and I was good. And holy shit, I've never slept so good in my life.
Well, that's good. That's good. Perhaps one of these days I can experience what that's like.
That'd be nice.
I mean, it'd be, who knows? I would have to have a different employer for that to take place.
Yes. And for the record, I did that in the backyard by myself, then came inside, put everything away, then went upstairs. Went upstairs, threw my clothes in the laundry and got a shower, brushed my teeth just so the family could stand to be around me. So...
Wow.
It's not something I can just do whenever. But yeah, that was an interesting time.
Yeah, right on. You know what else is interesting?
What's that?
Games.
Games? Like Kent's games?
It's been a while since I've done one.
Yeah, it has. Do you have one prepared for this week?
I do.
Then I better hit the button.
Can I please have your attention?
In the last 30 minutes, Kent's done something. Now you've got a guess.
He was very excited.
Kent's Games.
Play with him.
And I figured out my audio problem.
Yesterday was Earth Day. Did you know that?
I think I did.
The only reason I knew that yesterday was Earth Day is I was trying to figure out what today's game was going to be. And I just opened up Google and Google just told me like, today's Earth Day. It's like, okay, cool. I'll make a quiz about the Earth.
Oh,
like, I call this one Happy Earth Day to you.
Happy Earth Day to you.
Exactly.
I see what you did there.
Right. Yep. Okay.
It's like a second level pun.
This is a true and false quiz. I think it's pretty easy. And we're going to find out how you can do it. It's 10 questions, true or false.
So the person that knows the answers thinks it's pretty easy to choose one of two answers. Got it. Okay.
I think it's going to be easy for you. That's what I'm saying. All right. So let's see how you do. All right. Number one, true or false? The first Earth Day was 50 years ago.
Sounds good. True. Sure. Why not?
All right. So Earth Day is our world's birthday. True or false?
False. I mean, in all fairness, we don't know that it's false, but we can't possibly presume that it's true.
Right. And I just realized I pushed the wrong button.
At least they're hearing your sounders.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, obviously it's not the Earth's birthday. We can't know that. And if it was, we just established the Earth Day is 50 years old. That would mean the Earth is 50 years old. So
Crystal the Rock says happy 2020th birthday, Earth.
Also false.
You know me and my love of conspiracy, of all things conspiracy. I have been doing a lot of viewing and watching. No, even Christ is 32 years older than us. It'd be his 2052nd birthday. Anyway, I have been watching a lot of conspiracy. I don't say conspiracy theories. They're how do I put this? They're ancient civilization hypotheses.
Okay.
Because I think that's more accurate than conspiracy theories. Because really, the whole cover up aspect of things like this don't really get me going. It's the thought process of like where did the pyramids really come from? You know, like something doesn't add up there. Now, does it have to be an ancient civilization? No, but something of the common mythology of how they were built when we were taught as a kids that doesn't add up. So, like, looking into that, why is there a line around the Earth that's 100 kilometers wide that covers, like, 90% of Earth's megalithic ancient structures? Like, there's certain things, you know, and of course they can all be explained away. I've been going down that rabbit hole lately. Oh, my God, so much fun.
Number three. The Earth is flat.
Only from a very small perspective of human height.
So true or false?
It's definitely false.
Absolutely. I almost had the quiz take a turn from this point and make it about conspiracy theories. And I didn't. I decided to just make it all about the Earth. There's a radio station. I'll have to find the link for it. There's a radio station in Austin that has a recurring guest called Flat Earth Andy, and he comes on to talk about his flat Earth conspiracy, and they have people on, like, oh, I don't know, like astronauts to debate with him. It's pretty good stuff. All right, number four.
I think that's what the flat Earth thing is. This is just a bunch of people that want NASA to pay for them to fly up into space to see with their own eyes that it's actually round. They're like, oh, if I say it loud enough, they'll eventually take me up there just to prove me wrong. I think that's the real conspiracy.
I mean, maybe that's a long shot, though.
Right.
But I guess it's more likely that that would happen than to find out that the Earth is flat.
Right. I mean, they're playing their odds.
All right. Earth's core is as hot as the sun's surface.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. I'm going to say false. I think it's a little bit... Oh, no, it's about the same.
It's roughly the same.
5,500 Kelvin?
Something like that. That sounds pretty close.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, the Earth is basically a big thermal, like a thermonuclear reactor, basically.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Dusong and Wild, for the 100 cheer points there. 100 bits.
Thanks for the bits, man. All right, number 5. A magnitude 12 earthquake would split the Earth in half.
No.
No?
No. How would that... No, how...
Okay, so the math is something like every number on the Richter scale is basically double.
It's an order of magnitude above the next one.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. So once
a
magnitude 13 earthquake would be... The fault line would have to be larger than the width of the planet itself. So
all right, I'm going to accept that because it would take too much energy to argue it.
Just to find out that you'd be wrong.
And now we're back to flat Earth theory.
All right. So
Sam's pissed off. He was told there'd be no math in this episode.
I don't know who told you that, but hopefully they're right for the rest of the episode. All right. Earth is estimated to be 10 billion years old.
So this is a floating number. It's typically known to be about 13.8, so they round off to 14 billion years old, but there is some new scientific data that says it might actually be considerably older or younger, but the common theory, the most common theory is about 13.8 billion years old. So I'm going to say false.
Okay. I'll take your answer. But it's actually younger than that. It's like 4.5 billion years old or something.
I'm sorry. The universe is 13.8 billion years old.
Yeah.
The Earth may be considerably younger than that. Or considerably older.
I left the possibility open for you. Basically, you were going to get this one right no matter what. I marked it as false because it's mostly in scientific circles considered to be younger than that. But also, I worded it, the Earth is estimated to be, depends on who you ask, right? So yeah. If you just said true, I'd be like, yeah, fuck it, you get it.
Yeah, somebody estimated it to be that.
Right, yeah. And it was me just now.
It was me. As I answered the question, that was my estimate. Yeah.
All right. Number 7. About 70% of the Earth's surface is covered in water.
That's true.
All right.
But get this. All of Earth's surface is covered in air.
Okay. Yes.
This IPA might be a little stronger than I planned.
All right. Earth takes exactly 24 hours to rotate.
False.
Do you know exactly what it is?
It depends on what you consider rotate. If you mean rotate on its own axis, it's one number. It's just a little bit shorter. No, a little bit longer than 24 hours. But if you consider the rotation with an anchor point of the sun, so therefore think considering the rotation and the travel through space, it's actually a little bit longer than that, like another tenth of a second longer than that. So it's, yeah, there you go. That's right. It's just a touch longer than 24 hours.
Actually, wrong direction. It's just a touch less. 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 4 seconds.
I know if you look at the correlation between the period of time for a day, you know, just one rotation versus one circumnavigation of the sun, like those two numbers don't match up really at all. It's a fucking miracle we end up with 365 days in a year.
Which leads me directly to number nine. An Earth year is exactly 365 days.
No. No, it's 365.41.
I'm not too far off. 365.2564.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, which is why we have leap year and things like that.
Well, we have a leap year every 4 years, unless it's on a 100-year mark, a century mark. We don't have a leap years on century marks. However, we will have a leap year on a century mark if it's also a millennium mark.
Right. Yes. Yes, that is correct.
So the furthest extent of that rule that I know is what we experienced in 2000. It was the century mark, so we shouldn't have had a leap year, but it was a millennium mark, so we did. And I know it goes further than that, but fuck it. I don't.
Yeah, astronomy, math. We're not going to go there.
Look, I just figured out Easter not too long ago, and I still couldn't tell you what the fuck that is.
It's about moons and zombies and stuff like that.
That's exactly right, actually. That's ding!
All right, your final question. 5% of Earth's water is fresh water. 5% of this water is fresh water.
I'm going to say true.
You're going with true?
Yeah.
It's actually 3%.
See, I knew it was like really fucking low.
But liquid form water is even less than that. It's less than 1%.
Right.
Of the Earth's water is liquid fresh water.
Right. And then if you take the ice fresh water, it becomes the majority of what's left, with the vaporized water being like the fucking tiniest little sliver.
Yeah. So there's actually, there's very, very little like cloud water.
Yeah.
All right. So not too bad. You did in fact beat the D this week with a 7 out of 10.
Hell yeah.
So good job on that.
That means I beat the D and picked up a stroke.
That's right. Well done, sir.
Excellent. Very fun game. I enjoyed that. That was, you should have more games like that where it's like, are you fucking sure?
Games that you don't suck at.
I mean, that helps. I thought I knew all of that, and I still only got 7 out of 10, so whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can look at it the other way. You only missed 3 of them.
Fine. In other news, real quick, in the chat, while we're about to discuss our next point, in the chat, I want you to tell us the single most impacted aspect of your life for the quarantine. So if that's the, you know, food or how you ate, if that's travel, because you usually travel more, if that's seeing family, whatever the most impactful, not like the most obvious, like obviously I'm not going anywhere, but the most impactful thing that has happened from the quarantine, go ahead and throw that in there, and we'll get to those in just a minute. But Kent, I want you to say, other than what you talked about earlier, where it's kind of like repeated day, you know, a little Groundhog Day action.
Yeah.
What is the most impacted aspect of your life with the quarantine / stay at home orders, whatever?
I get a healthy amount of sleep. That is seriously, like, I can't explain how big of a deal that is to me. I during a work week, I generally get like 3 to 4 hours of sleep at night, just because I am not a, like, you know, go to bed at 9 p.m. kind of guy. Like, my body just does not shut down.
Right.
If I were to go to bed at, let's say, 10 o'clock in the evening and lay there with my eyes closed, with, you know, lights off, nice calming music playing, like, you know, all the things, right? Temperature's right. I will still lay there for probably 2, 3, sometimes like 4 hours before I fall asleep. And that's under great conditions. unless I'm just like either shit-faced drunk or just like wiped out tired because I've been up for a day and a half. But just like on a normal, like on a regular ass Tuesday, I don't sleep well. But now that I am teleworking and I don't have to be at a place at a certain time in the morning, I can basically just follow my own like circadian cycle, fall asleep when I'm tired, get up when I'm ready to fucking get up. I mean, yes, I do still set an alarm so that I, you know, actually get out of bed instead of just snooze until like 4 p.m. But my alarm goes off and I'm not pissed off about it. I get up out of the bed and I go do what I do and log into my work computer. And it's been great. Like I've been getting like 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night. And it's been absolutely wonderful. What about you, man?
I'm going to go the opposite way. And this is really fun. So I don't have a daily job I have to be at like some people, but I do have obligations. Like my daughter has a Zoom meeting that she has to be with her teacher every day or whatever, you know, like there's certain things that have to take place at certain times, even if it's not work related. I would say that my sleep, because I'm allowed more leniency in following my circadian rhythm, which I have roughly estimated to be a 20 and 8 cycle. So 20 hours of being awake with about 8 hours of sleep. Right. I end up being the 20 hours awake, but not getting the 8 hours of sleep. So I've been sleeping worse because my wife has had more of a leniency in her sleep schedule as well. And working on projects, things like that. You know, if I start researching something and 6 hours later, I'm still digging into it, I just keep digging into it. But yeah, sleep is one of those aspects that's really, without the structure of the day-to-day life, my sleep has actually decreased. Now, you don't have small kids at home. You have kids that can basically manage themselves, which...
My kids can wipe their own ass.
Right. And I mean, mine can too. They just can't make sure they're awake to get on Zoom call with their hair done. So, if we were shitty parents, I guess it'd be a lot easier, but we insist that our 7-year-old have her hair done before she gets on a Skype call with all of her friends. But yeah, I think sleep is actually the hardest part of all this. Although in a very close second, my wife has been home now for almost a month straight and there have been a few bad days, you know, where she's just not happy. Mm-hmm. Wives out there, pay attention. She's just not happy. But overall, she's had more time with the kids, with the littles, more time with the middles, and more time with me. Honestly, that's been hellaciously awesome. I just wish I could really get to sleep. Although I will say, Kent, if you need a little help falling asleep during the week, have you ever tried THC?
Not an option, my current.
It puts you straight to sleep if you let it. All right, let's see what we got in the chat room here. We B.K. Hilford is the only one that responded. He says he's had problems with beer, having to go through the drive-thru to get beer.
I don't think I have a drive-thru option for beer here. I do have a curbside pickup at a couple locations for beer.
You need better beer.
We've actually got pretty decent beer.
No, just overall, the beer experience needs to be better where you are.
Right. Well, it's getting a lot better. We've actually got tap rooms and things in town now, which is a huge improvement from where we were, let's say, even 2 years ago. The alcohol service in this town was almost nil.
Now, last time I was in Alamogordo, which is given 4 years ago, 5 years ago, mm-hmm. We drove through town and we counted all the places in which you can have a beer that was not an Applebee's or something like a, you know, Great American Restaurant type of environment, you know, where it's just beer. And right. We came up with like 5.
Oh, what the hell were you? Did you accidentally count a McDonald's and a gas station?
No. We counted the Fry's grocery store. By default, because it's where you buy most of your beer.
It's actually Lowe's Grocery.
Lowe's Grocery. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. That would be a high estimate, I think.
It was like two bars, a multifunction joint, the Lowe's, and then like a gas station or some shit like that. Like, you know, they didn't yell at you if you drank a beer as you were walking out the door. I mean, it was pitiful. Okay.
All right, so if we're including gas stations that won't yell at you for cracking open a beer on the way out the door, I mean, you could probably bump that up to like 10. But
it was sad. It was a sad. And I'm not really a big beer drinker. It took me that whole 40 minutes we've been on stream to finish this IPA. Which, by the way, the end of which, I got to say,
I need to get my hands on some of that beer. That sounds delicious.
Well, you need to come to Alaska. I got all kinds of fucking beer in here that you keep saying you need to get your hands on.
Well, as soon as travel is a thing, I might try to make my way up there. I know I've been saying that for how many years? How long you been up there north of the wall?
4.
Yeah. So,
we're closer now than we've ever been before, though. So there's that.
That is true.
By default. Well, just a simple logic problem. And for the record, I've been to your place like 4 times.
4 times.
I brought my kids and my wife. I brought my mom.
If you count like every time you entered my home, like just like you went out into the backyard, came back in, if that counts as 2.
No. No. You're silly.
But to be fair, like you were living in Texas for at least half of those. And
yeah,
I visited you in Texas as well.
All right, fine. I'll fucking give you that, jerk.
So yeah, we need to make visits, a thing once the travel restrictions are gone.
Maybe the patrons can make that happen and we can make a big patron live special.
That would be fantastic. I've got ideas.
I do too, but you'd have to ring Steph because you can't enjoy some of them. That's a good point.
All right, man. So quarantine's a thing. In some places, it's a legal thing. Like you're absolutely mandated.
All right, this Kulsh almost has like a banana flavor to it.
Okay, I can see that.
It's creamy. It tastes like a normal ale, but it's got like it's almost like a banana cream flavor to it. I really want to know what color it is. Maybe it's just because I've been drinking that piss ass IPA.
Yeah, after drinking a very dank IPA, pretty much any beer is going to taste sweet. So that might be what's going
on. I'm glad I just got to admit it on mic. Hey man, quarantine is a big thing. We're not trying to get political here, but there are some real fucking idiots out there. And I had this link here that I'm going to bring up now because, well, why not? This is a BuzzFeed article. 33 signs from reopen protests across the U.S. that are 100% real. You can take all of that with a grain of salt, unless you're Kent, in which case you can take it with a grain of turmeric.
Right.
But this is some funny shit that I just wanted to go through and share a couple of these because I can't fucking believe Americans right now. I can't believe humanity in general, but especially Americans. It blows me away.
To be fair, I mean, this is a representative of like 0.0001% of people. Like this is like a non-factor, statistically speaking.
Right.
But this particular sample contains a lot of idiots. And these idiots went out into public spaces to protest the quarantine, self-isolation, whatever it is you want to call it.
Yep.
And now, they may be idiots, but there is one sign that I thought was quite clever for said idiots. One of them says COVID-19 or COVID-1984.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that one now. I noticed that one as well. There it is. COVID-19 or COVID-1984.
Yeah.
That's clever.
It's very clever, but also very stupid.
Fucking stupid. I don't know what it is about retirement. And I guess I do know what it is about retirement. I just can't tolerate the stupidity of some people anymore. Not that I was ever really good at it. to be fair.
Well, and so the thing is, it's all about exposure, right? Because if you look for stupidity, you're going to find stupidity. And if you don't want to be around stupidity, you just stay away from places that expose you to stupidity, basically, right?
Fine. Then how do you explain give me liberty or give me COVID-19? It doesn't even make sense. Because yeah. The choice is to have liberty and COVID-19, not or. Like, right, he's right. Basically stating that it's... this is the current choice. You can have liberty and run around, or you can and have COVID.
So obviously it's riffing on give me liberty or give me death. So they're equating COVID-19 to death. So what? Like, that's not the okay.
How about don't cancel my golf season? And it doesn't show the person holding this flag, but I can only imagine they're a middle-aged white dude of at least some affluence. Like, golf. Fucking really?
Yeah. The only people that are even near, like, within sight of the poverty line that can afford to golf are military members, because it's cheap as fuck to golf on a military base.
On base, not off base, just on base. Yes,
right. But outside of that, like, no, that's a privileged person.
How about we demand haircuts? Like, dude, you weren't getting good haircuts before. Why the fuck would you expect them now?
I'm kind of digging on don't believe Bill Gates of hell.
Oh, right.
Because that just, like, what are you say? Like, this sign says a lot. It's like Bill Gates of hell. It's like, are they saying that? The man that we know is Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft. He is like a demon that originated in hell. Is that what they're saying? Are they saying that the particular Bill Gates that happens to be from hell, or is it? Does it have something to do with the belief? Like, don't believe Bill Gates about the thing of hell. Like, what? What are they actually saying with this?
Yeah. Okay. In all fairness, I'm the one that wanted to put this in the show notes. I sent it to Kent and said, this is for the show tomorrow, because I wasn't in a place where I could just paste it in the show notes. I brought this up because there's just so much to say about each one of these. So what I want to do now, let's just scroll down, make one comment, and just move on. We're starting at number 8, and this link will be in the show notes. Please, 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 if you're listening on your iPod or your iPhone or your iPad or whatever Android mechanism you have, I don't even know what they're fucking called anymore. Click on the link, look at these signs, and just make your own opinions and judgments about them and see if you can tell which one we are looking at when we're talking about these. So we're going to start at a random number in the middle. Video viewers can already see it, but we'll move on from there. This gentleman has a flagpole with a sign that says, fight the virus, not the people, 10th New York State Mountain Division. He's wearing what appears to be a painter's ventilator.
Yep.
If he's so sure that what he wants is freedom, why is he still wearing a ventilator?
So I think his thinking here is that don't keep us at the house. If we go out,
hey Kent, the man is trying to keep you down. He's throttling your Skype. There we go. Yeah, see. That's what happens.
Gosh, did I?
There we go. Now you're back.
Damn it, Ted Skype. Damn it, Ted Skype.
they're throttling your opinion, man. That's how strongly they feel about this shit. Tell us about this dude again.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, I guess I'm kind of defending his stance here. Just basically saying that a lot of the people say that, we can follow the CDC guidelines without being mandated to stay in our homes. So if you follow the, you know, 6 foot distance rule, plus you wear a mask, you know, and you know, wash your hands often, disinfect, hand sanitizer, the whole thing, right? You can do all of those things and not be kept in your home. And I think that's what they're trying to say is, don't keep me locked up. I'll wear the mask. I'll do the things. I think that's what his point is.
All right. Fine. How about I prefer dangerous freedom.
Why he would call out his military division, which I think is kind of a sketchy claim anyway, doesn't make any sense. But yeah, so I prefer dangerous freedom. Yeah. So I've heard that a lot. That's a very right wing slogan. People on the right of the spectrum, when it comes to like freedom issues, like freedom versus regulation. So right. Like, regardless of what that is, like, you know, I had the freedom of choice to do fill in the blank, versus regulations. So like a lot of like gun rights, folks will say this, give me the right to own a gun, knowing that like dangerous people are going to have a gun. Cause I'll go ahead and take that gamble.
Yeah.
As long as I have that right, I'll take the gamble. Like it's a lot of issues on the right, refer to slogans like this. I prefer dangerous freedom. So I think this is definitely a right leaning, if not far right person, with this slogan. I prefer to choose to risk getting COVID-19 rather than having you tell me that I am not allowed to get COVID-19.
Fair enough. I'll give you that. How about this next one?
What do we got? Fear is the real virus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a backlash against, media, really, like government media sources that, a lot of people feel. Well, I think most people that feel this way, I think, are people that overconsume, news sources. They feel that the media is sowing fear, by reporting things like this nonstop. Well, my solution to that is, stop watching the fucking news. I'm not afraid. And I think maybe one of those reasons is that I'm not watching I literally never watch the news, like literally never. I have news sources. Like I read certain sites, you know, on certain times during the day. And I do listen to certain current events type podcasts. But I'm not watching the news and I don't read Facebook. So I stay away from the fear mongering. So I don't know.
All right. How about this one? Land of the obedient, home of the enslaved. And then another sign that says facts over fear. And neither one of these people are standing 6 foot away from anybody. And neither one is wearing a mask and neither one is wearing gloves. They're basically taking no protective measures at all and carrying these signs, one of them which is written on what appears to be an insulation panel with paper stapled to it.
Yeah. So these folks, I can tell right away, are definitely slaves to the confirmation bias fallacy.
I haven't gotten it, so nobody can get it.
Yeah. So, well, not only that, like they choose to look at statistics that matter to them. So an often cited statistic on the right is the number of recovered or percentage of recovered people from COVID-19. And they use that as their justification for, you know, if 98% of the people that get this, recover fully with no long-term implications, then why do the media only talk about the other numbers? Why aren't they talking about the 98%? So in their closed ecosphere, and they're constantly getting, you know, confirmation bias for those things. We should be paying attention to the 98% versus the, and I might be wrong about 98%, but it's high 90s, right? But yeah, so like B. Cover said, who cares if 2% of people die,
right?
Right. It's, but it's, yes, that, but it's even deeper than all of that. And like, if you seriously think facts over fear, choose your fucking sources better so that you're not afraid. You can choose facts over fear, like by choosing facts over fear and still comply with stay at home orders and stuff like that. Like, it makes no goddamn sense. Like, right. This is total confirmation bias fucking at work right here.
I'm going to leave the rest of them to viewers to see on their own. Let us know what you think is your favorite sign and how you interpret it. podcast@ritualmisery.com. Send us your emails. Let us know. Give us as much detail on the photo and your opinion as possible. And we will revisit next time we come back. If we get nobody ever emails us, like all these calls to action, nobody ever does the thing. So maybe not be a jerk and fucking email us about the thing.
Prove Amos wrong. Amos is full of shit. Prove it to him. Yeah. Be the one that emails with a detailed.
I'm so full of shit. Kent's eyes are brown.
Prove Amos wrong. podcast@ritualmisery.com.
I actually don't know what color your eyes are. I think they're brown, but they could be fucking green for all I know.
My eyes are actually hazel.
Yeah, same here, but they tend more on the green side. See, I don't fucking know. That's how full of shit I am. Prove me wrong. podcast@ritualmisery.com. Email us.
Exactly.
Hey dude, I want to very specifically talk to you more about the coronavirus and stuff like that in the post show. But I mean, we don't need to be doing all that right now. What I would like to do right now is, what if you've heard all this and you see all this and you know you're like, this is a bunch of bullshit and they're not on my political side, or they're trying to skew the information, or no, they're right and these people shouldn't have these signs and blah blah, like whatever your opinion might be. I know a way that you can fucking help. And if COVID-19 isn't your thing, like say you're like, you know what? COVID-19's dumb. Alzheimer's, that's where we need to be putting some effort. I have a fucking solution for you.
Oh, get out of here. What would that be, Amos?
Have you ever heard of folding at home?
I have heard of it, but I didn't hear about it before like an hour and a half ago when I looked at the show notes.
Basically, I'm gonna give you the really layman's bullshit terms for everything. Proteins, they make everything possible. All of life happens because proteins are special. Proteins are also bad because they are what forms most the reaction agents in viruses and bacterias. Well, we know what chemical composites these proteins are, and we know where they belong and what they do, but we don't know what shape they're going to take. And the shape is all of it. The shape determines their function. And for viruses, if we can determine their shape, we can stop their function. You get what I'm going with here?
I think I follow.
Okay. So if we can figure out how to stop them from shaping the way that they want to shape, we can stop them from virusing the way they want a virus. I don't think any of those terms actually exist, but fuck off. So folding at home is literally a way for you to use your computer power at home to sacrifice some electricity in order to run a simulation on your local computer. And then that simulation, so they download the data from Stanford or whatever college it is that's currently running it. Right now it's University in Washington University in St. Louis School of Medicine. But they download the information from there. Your computer runs a simulation, which takes all this computer power. Like, it's not low key stuff. It runs your processor or your graphics card pretty high for like an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours. And then once it figures out exactly how or one way that protein might fold and what function it might have, it sends that information back up to the university. And then they compile all the information to figure out how they can try to stop the virus. Well, you can do this at home for free. Just go to foldingathome.org. And if you're going to do that, if you want to help out, if you want to make magic fucking happen, go there, foldingathome.org. It can be done on a cell phone. It can be done on a laptop. It can be done on a gaming computer, which is better because it's got more processing power. Mm-hmm. You're literally spending a little extra on your power bill in order to help research. It matters. They're researching Alzheimer's. They're researching multiple sclerosis. Right now, if you just go in the, I don't want to specify, it's going to start researching COVID-19. And look up team number 261-830. That's 261-830. That is the Good Day Internet, aka DTNS, aka Merit Militia folding team, the GDI folding team. Right now, we have completed 1,601 simulations. We have approximately 43 people on the simulation team. So it's not even that big. And we're already, last time I checked, we were 4,007th place of teams all time in the world. So if you've got some computer power to spare, you're not using a second computer like I'm not, and you don't mind a couple of dollars on your electric bill, folding at home, it's really easy to set up. It's really easy to sign up, everything else. And you don't never know. You could be the computer that solves the equation, the folding equation that's necessary to actually create an antiviral for COVID-19. That can be you.
That would be an heroic thing. Yeah. Freaking hell yeah. If you've got the extra computing power, check it out. It is folding at home. Stanford.edu. Sorry. And once again, the team ID is 261-830.
And you can go to ritualmisery.com/FAH, folding at home, FAH, and that'll bring you to our team stat page. Yeah.
That's even better. That's even better. ritualmisery.com/FAH for folding at home.
Yep. And I've got my Mac, my 10-year-old Mac Mini crunching away on shit, full power, because it barely uses any power anyway. And it's already, just in the 2 days it's been sitting there, it's already solved three simulation equations, which doesn't sound like a lot, but you never know which one will be the solution to an antiviral for, it wouldn't be an antiviral, but a solution to Alzheimer's, to the protein deposits in Alzheimer's, to COVID-19, to any of these other diseases that are all protein-based. We don't know which one will do it, but yours could. So spend a couple of dollars on your power bill and help humanity as a whole.
Hell yeah. ritualmisery.com/FAH. Amos, if you are going to go viral sometime in the future, how can someone follow that occurrence?
They'd probably find it when I posted it from the shitter on Twitter at Ethan Kane, ETHANCAINE. How about you, man?
If you want to follow me, I am RM_DelNoche on Twitter, but pretty much everywhere else on the internet, I'm either Del Noche or Del Noche 77.
Deuce Gone Wild cheered another 100 bits. Very, very, very much thank you. Apparently, for the leaderboards to be active now, you have to have at least 3 people cheering at least 100 bits within 5 minutes. So I don't know if that's a thing we can do, but we keep getting there.
Yeah, that's I think that's like how a hype train starts. I don't know.
Yeah. That's it. But yeah, we'll figure it out, and we keep getting the bits. We'll make that shit happen too. So, you can follow the show at Ritual Misery on Twitter, RITUALMISERY, or just cruise on to ritualmisery.com to find all links, all show notes, and everything else having to do with basically any project that Kent and I are allowed to talk about us being on.
And if you want some of the inside sauce on that stuff, go over to Discord, bit.ly/RMPDiscord. Join our conversation over there. You get access to early looks at things. You get a chance to be a part of the show, in fact.
And if you're a patron and a Discord, we have a group specifically for you that's a direct line to Kent and I that we will... You are free to post in there at any time you want, day or night, and we guarantee that we will ignore you for at least 3 hours before replying. Because we suck at Discord, but we're both trying harder.
You don't get that guarantee everywhere.
Shut up. This is special for patron Discords.
We are live every Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/ritual misery, and as far as I know, we're still carried on diamondclub.tv.
I believe we are. And we would like to thank Kevin MacLeod for allowing us to use his music all these years. We've been using his music for years, and he's awesome. Got a documentary coming out soon, but that's all there is to there. Thank you so much for you, for listening, for Kent, for me, and for you. This has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
RITUALMISERY.
Boom! That's a show.
Yeah. Curtis says that was loud. Yeah, it was loud as fuck on this end too.
Look, you couldn't hear it. Now you can fucking hear it. All right. I don't know what you want. What you want from me?
he says, "Thank fuck, I'm not wearing headphones."
If it matters at all, I'm wearing headphones and it's loud as fuck for me too. So,
yeah. All right, you didn't suffer alone, Curtis.
RIP, real quick. I do apologize for the audio issues. If anybody did feel any distress from any of the audio issues, that is all on me, and I do apologize.